If you're looking for a fling, or a lifetime, or a, well, I'm free Friday anyway kind of thing, find it on Bumble. Fall in love with dating. Welcome to Finger Food, empowered by Bumble. I'm your maitre d', Stacey O, and I'm here to serve you intimate conversations around sexuality and pleasure. On the menu is a selection of heart-to-hearts with people who vulnerably share their stories, insights, and perspectives. This podcast is about sex and so much more. We explore connection, letting go of judgment, and accepting ourselves exactly as we are. Let's dine. In this episode, I chat with Biku Wernick Ungerau. Biku is an actor, model, and musician. He loves expressing himself through dance, singing, and has just started surfing, which I'm realizing is a 2022 trend because I just started too. In this intimate conversation, we talk about polyamory, monogamy, and how jealousy can play out in our lives. We talk about the power of communication and honesty in relationships and the tool of nonviolent communication. We also go into performance anxiety and navigating erectile dysfunction. My favourite quote from this episode is, "Communication is more important than your dick size." You heard it here first, honeys. It's great to have you here at the table. Let's get started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome, Biku. Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yay, it's an honor.
I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm very excited.
I feel you, honey. I feel you. So let's just dive straight into it.
Sure.
So first and foremost, where are you from and what's your family background?
I was brought up in Australia. I was brought up in a little small hippie town in northern New South Wales, kind of close to that Byron Bay, Nimbin region. I grew up with a single mother. I was a single child. My other half of the family is from the Solomon Islands, where my father lives, and a big part of my life still is over there. I was named after my great-grandfather, who was the last chief of our tribe. Mm. So through namesake, I'm chief of some sort. I'm not necessarily know what that... I don't really know what that means, but I think it just means responsibility. I think it means, I'm still trying to figure that out as somebody that feels like doesn't deserve to have a title. That's me. That's me, I think. Still trying to figure that out, to be honest.
Oh my gosh, so you're a chief of the Solomon Islands. And you grew up in Australia.
And Solomon Islands is only the Solomon Islands because the colonizers drew that invisible line and made those groups of islands the Solomon Islands. Mm. So I'm not the chief of the Solomon Islands. I was a chief of, or my great-grandfather was a chief of a small tribe within the Solomon Islands that definitely grew a reputation for being quite violent. And we were headhunters. And only two generations ago, it was really quite close, which is interesting, knowing that my great-grandfather was a cannibal, you know, doing a lot of things that these days we're just blown away by. And I think about the fact that it's my grandma's granddad and my grandma's still alive,
you know. Whoa.
Which is a bit bizarre, but you know, that has some, that gives me some sort of fuel and some sort of power when I think about the chief and I think about those things that we used to do and the whole nature versus nurture. When it comes to, I grew up as a single child in Australia when there's just hippies and tree hugging and jam circles and, you know, so much hair everywhere. And then on the other side is warriors, we're headhunters. And so, well, yeah, let's be peaceful, man. Plus chopping heads off, which is such a bizarre in between.
Wow. That's so interesting. I wasn't expecting any of that when I asked about what's your family background, you know? Wow.
It is quite interesting, and I think that I'm very lucky. I think that I'm so lucky to be where I'm from and to be where I am, you
know. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So what are your pronouns and what do they mean to you?
My pronouns are he and him. And to be honest, pronouns are quite a new thing for me within the past 2-3 years. Moving from Australia to Auckland within the past few years has been such a big life-changing experience of just being exposed to so much other types of humans. Growing up it's a small country town. Pronouns were just, they just weren't used as much because there's not that many people around. And yeah, I wasn't exposed to it. I am, my pronouns are he, him.
Beautiful.
Yeah. As far as I know, you know.
Wonderful. Love it. And what's your sexual orientation in this moment? And what does that mean to you?
I don't know.
Great answer. We're off to a good start.
I don't fucking know. I feel like I fluctuate. I'm still learning about different sexualities. A few years ago, I was like, maybe I'm bisexual. Maybe that fits, because I love women, but then I'll look at guys and be like, oh, that'd be nice to kiss, or would it be nice to cuddle him, or like I might have a dream about somebody and I'll wake up and be like, what does that mean? But I think there's a lot of expectations around a sexuality, and I think it means different things for everybody else. A term that I heard recently was heteroflexible.
Heteroflexible. Ooh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's quite self-explanatory within the name is, hey, I'm straight, but I'm flexible.
Nice.
But I also don't know how confirming that is. You know? I think it just kind of alleviates the pressure of you having to stick by this one idea as only women or only men or only whoever.
Yes.
So, to be honest, I don't know. Whoever's awesome sexual is what I'll call it.
Yeah.
If you're awesome, I'll find you sexy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to matter too much to me in the end. I think as long as you're funny and you're beautiful and you're all the things that I feel like make me happy. And yeah. I don't know.
I love that.
Sorry, I can't give you a straight answer on that.
No.
Or a gay answer. I don't know.
You can't put you in a box. Beautiful. So I know that you've been exploring polyamory over this last couple of years. And I'm really interested to know how that started for you.
Yeah, there was it has been a journey that I've been on for quite a while. Since my first breakup, I was in a monogamous relationship for 4 years or so. And I grew up a single child, and after that first breakup, I started reading a book called Sex at Dawn, and I started listening to the author quite a bit, and just a different understanding about attachment and possession and why we feel these certain things, and I was able to intellectually agree with it. And say, hey, this is, you know, agriculture did make us build fences around our properties, and this food's for me, and if you want some of it, you know, there's all these possessions now instead of living in a communal environment where everything is shared. So for a while I was exploring it mentally for a long while, but it's also one of those things that you don't need to be, but it's a lot easier if you have the community around you that is also familiar with these types of relationship dynamics and the language that goes along with that, and the openness that comes with that too, because when I first started to read about it, I would speak to my friends about it, and they were like, cool, man.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Yeah, there's so much judgment in society around it. Like, people being like, well, is that just like an excuse for cheating? Or like, because we're so conditioned to think about relationships being monogamous, we're like, to think outside that box, if you're not, if you've not been in the environment that where people are open relating, you just can't quite possibly fathom it. So it takes a bit for your head to get around it.
You just want to be a slut.
Yeah, or like, you're really, or that person's just hypersexual and they just want to have sex with everybody. And it's like, is that the case for everybody? Or is it actually that you have so much love to give that you want to relate with multiple people? And I'm sure that differs for every individual, and there's no right or wrong, whether you want to fuck everyone or whether you want to just like have really beautiful intimate connections with multiple people. It's all wonderful.
Yeah, totally. You could be in a polyamorous relationship and still only have sex with one person.
Mm.
You know, I think you're able to define your own relationship. I think that's the biggest thing, is there's no monogamy is the way that the songs have taught us and the movies have taught us and how our parents most likely have taught us, but that's not the only way to go about things, and neither is polyamory. I think that there's a lot of in between, and within polyamory you can make up your own decision of what your own agreements are, and that could sometimes, we wouldn't even call it, we would just call it relationship chaos, just there's consistent chaos within there, but the communication kind of keeps the stability.
Amazing. Together.
Yeah.
So I'm interested, so you were with your partner, your partner that you're with now, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you were in a monogamous, did you start off being in a monogamous relationship? So you started off being in a polyamorous.
Off being polyamorous.
Talk to me about that.
So I came to New Zealand and I moved into this house with a bunch of beautiful people, and she was one of my housemates.
Mm.
And we got together, and at this point I had spoken about polyamory a lot within my head and with my friends, but nobody was necessarily, they all agreed, but nobody was practicing it. I was able to talk the talk, but walking the walk is so freaking scary. So scary. Already reading enough and learning a bit about myself and thinking that I'm a single child with a single mother. I've gotten all my love from one person and relied on them for a really long time. That's a scary thing to try and work through that process of, I can't just put those responsibilities onto the next person. You know, as you grow up, I feel like it's really easy for you to find your parents within the person that you're with, you know.
Totally.
And as a single child or a single mother, that's just, it's my one place to get love, you know, and it's reliable, it's always there. And so it was a little bit scary to, I guess, dive straight into the deep end, because my partner now, she was already polyamorous.
Okay.
And so we got together and she said, hey, just to let you know, I'm polyamorous. And I thought, that's great. You know, I'm so keen to do this.
Yes.
But I don't know anybody that is keen to do this. And this is amazing.
Awesome.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell
I'm
doing.
Please show me the ropes.
Yeah. Let's figure this out. And she hadn't been in a polyamorous relationship either, because there's so many different things you could call it. I guess you would call it like solo poly at the time.
Okay.
Which is when you have intentional connections with other people and you still are transparent and you're clear, but you don't necessarily have the agreements of spending every night together or maybe having a label to your relationship. It could just be a bunch of casual sexual partners.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
So polyamory, like the definition of polyamory, is when you're intimately relating with multiple partners and you're in relationship with multiple partners. Is that right?
Yes. I don't know what the actual definition is. So there's ethical non-monogamy, but that's, which I guess it's, the same thing as consensual non-monogamy. It's you're both agreeing that you want to see connections in other places as well as with the person that you're with.
So you have one primary partner, and then outside of that, you're in relationship with other people, or you're just sort of, you've got lovers outside of that?
Yeah, well, that's another option.
Yeah.
So maybe you would call that could be polyamory. There's like a hierarchy to it. If you wanted to, you could do a non-hierarchical relationship or a hierarchical relationship.
Okay.
So maybe my partner is my nesting partner, the person that I always come home to when I know that they're always going to be there. Or sometimes that could also feel pretty unfair and unequal if there is a third or fourth person involved, and there's now they're the second choice. You know, it's really easy for somebody to feel like they're the second choice in something or the third choice. So sometimes taking the hierarchy out of it makes that a bit easier and clearer for everybody. But I'm not entirely... Yeah, I don't know what the actual definition is.
Okay, so what did your definition of it look like within your relationship with your partner?
For us, it was forever evolving.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think we really liked the idea of having a primary partner, of having somebody that we could just kind of come home to and know that we're always going to be each other's number one.
Hmm.
Yeah, which was really nice. And... We would go on dates. I never had a serious second relationship. I had just dates and I had friends and maybe a few like sexual encounters, but I never really got too much opportunity to be in a relationship with two people consistently for a while and mm-hmm. have to juggle those emotions
Beautiful. And how did you find that? I'm just speaking from my own experience of jealousy when relating with people. I've never been in a polyamorous relationship or open relating, but I know with being in monogamous relationships, I have experienced moments of jealousy within them. And I'm wondering, does that exist within that? Did that exist for you within your relating dynamic? And what did that look like? Okay.
It definitely did.
Yes.
And I don't feel good about that, but it's one of those things that you realize that jealousy is a natural feeling that everybody gets.
Yeah.
And
so human.
It's so human. Mm. And sometimes it sucks to be human, like when you're in that situation. you think, oh man, why am I like this? Jealousy is such a real thing, and people feel it in so many different ways. And I think, you know, how we're brought up has a really big part of that. That's why I mentioned before about having a single mom and a single child. I think it's really affected things like when it comes to jealousy. I can feel quite jealous, and I can see that and then not be happy with myself about it and get in the shame spiral and say, hey, you're supposed to be okay with this. How do you... I know. So jealousy is almost like a road sign that's being held up, showing you some needs that need to be fulfilled, right?
Yes.
So when I'm feeling, oh, she's with somebody else, what are the needs that I need to be... What needs do I need to fulfill in that moment? Is it connection? Is it community? Is it communication? Is it just physical touch?
Mm.
Is it empathy, consideration?
Mm.
I'm responsible for those needs, even though it feels like someone else is responsible for those needs because I'm feeling this way because they're off with somebody else or they're doing something else and they're having a great time and I'm missing out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it can be... It can be hard, but that's why communication is the biggest part about polyamory. It is so important. Over communication is so important. Just say things that you don't think are important because they might be important.
Yeah,
you know, just over communicate as much as you can. I think it's one of the most valuable things that I've gotten out of this type of relationship is how important communication and honesty is.
Incredible.
Yeah. Just say, hey, I'm feeling really bad about this.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a thousand knives in my stomach right now. I don't really want you to stop doing what you're doing because I want you to be happy, but I have to tell you what's going on for me right now. And then, you know, even you just saying that you're communicating how you're feeling and you're still taking ownership of your needs in that situation, which is a big speed bump. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, and I'm still trying to figure that out every day.
It's so courageous to be able to express how you're feeling in every kind of given moment, and actually to have the awareness of your body to be like, oh, actually, I'm feeling this way, and like then being able to express that not only to yourself but to the person that you're with, and then just even like you're saying, like there's like a almost like a release or like a that comes from just being able to share how you're feeling. Because it's like, oh, I've accepted that I actually feel jealous, or I feel funny in my belly about this, or whatever it is.
Yeah. And I think it also helps with your mindset when you talk about it and you realize they also feel a similar thing and everybody's in a very similar boat. We're both new to this. We're trying. This is an FF, like Brené Brown would call it an FFT, like a first fucking time. And we're all just trying to figure it out. We're nervous. That. We don't know what's going on. We have these expectations that we're supposed to get it all right the first time. But we're just trying to do our best and give it a go. And there's going to be speed bumps. There's going to be mistakes. And as long as we are honest and we communicate about it, it's going to be okay. We live in a world of abundance. It's not in scarcity. When I would feel jealous, there's a book that I would always go to called The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. He's written the book, The Four Agreements.
Okay, yeah.
And he has this chapter about the magical kitchen. And the idea is, imagine you had this walk-in cupboard and it's full of all the most amazing food you have in there. It's already made and you have all the most pizzas and burgers or whatever your food is. And someone comes knocking on your door and says, hey, I have this pizza for you. Would you like to have it? If you do have it, you have to do what I say and do what I want and fulfill my needs. And you would think, I've got that pizza. I don't need your pizza. Yeah. Thank you. I'm sure it tastes really great, but I don't need your pizza. My kitchen's already full. And I guess the idea is if we can think about the food as love, and we already have all of that love and the best type of love within us. Mm. And it's just sometimes it's easy for us to rely on someone else's love and put our happiness in someone else's hands and hope that they can deliver what we already have in store for us. And it's sometimes it's really hard to just to sit still and say, hey, it's okay, my kitchen is full. I already have enough love within me. It's not in scarcity. It's in abundance.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I feel like that's just the most beautiful way of being, is just acknowledging that love is not a finite source. I definitely don't know if I would have the strength and resilience, never say never, but to be in a polyamorous relationship. But I really respect, am so intrigued about individuals such as yourself that have been able to go to those depths and actually experience that level of love where you're like, actually,
I'm enough.
I'm enough.
I'm already like, enough. Yeah.
Here's some more for you and you and you. It's just fucking fantastic. I just think it's so great. And I'm just,
It can be a very beautiful and amazing time where you just, I remember just crying because I'm like, I feel so much love right now. I don't know what to do with it all.
Too much love.
I'm saying, I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and you love me too, and it just...
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love it. It's so good.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It can be a very fun time. It can be a very challenging time, but all relationships are like that. When we first kind of got into this relationship, I was in the shower and I was thinking about what is like a metaphor that works for me within this. And I thought about a bushwalk, and I thought about how monogamy might be like walking with shoes on and polyamory is walking with bare feet. And at the time you think they, shoes, you know, they break down and sometimes they stop working, you know, but you can continue to fix those shoes and maintain those shoes. And polyamory, I felt at the time, was walking with no shoes on, and because to me it felt like a more natural way to do things, how we used to do it before Nike came along and raised our heels and put air pumps in there. But when you walk with no shoes on, you know, your feet are soft and there's sticks and there's stones and things hurt. And at the start you consistently ouch, I wasn't ready for that. I didn't see that coming. Maybe I should put my shoes back on or tiptoe around the place. But you gain calluses and you realize that I'm tough. You know, my feet are tough and this is...
Resilient.
This is actually fine. You know, this is actually fine. And you realize that there are things that are where your boundaries are and what is okay for you, what's not okay for you. Maybe I could walk on those sticks, or maybe I could choose not to walk on those sticks and I'll feel a lot better about my bushwalk.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I love that analogy. What would you say were your biggest challenges?
Within polyamory. I think the biggest challenges were maybe just being okay with my feelings.
Mm.
And I think I found that really hard sometimes because I had this expectation that I was supposed to do it all properly and that I wasn't supposed to feel jealousy and I wasn't supposed to feel flustered or attached or possessive and all of these things that I hate about myself sometimes, but I can't seem to help but do. And I think I found it really challenging sometimes to get out of a shame spiral of, you're not allowed to feel this, but it's okay to feel this. You're not crazy for feeling this way, but what are you doing? Stop putting your own in a cage. You know, there's some times where I feel like because I'm feeling jealous or I'm feeling needy or something that I'm restricting my partner from doing what they want to do. And that feels horrible.
Mm.
It really makes me feel bad. Like, and I don't know where, maybe that is a need of exterior validation of, I don't want to hurt someone's feelings and I don't want to get in your way because of how I'm feeling. But sometimes I found it really, really difficult to be okay with the way that I was feeling about things. I have, when we first got in this relationship, my partner gave me the most beautiful gift that we still use today. And it's, do you know what NVC is?
Nonviolent communication.
Communication, yeah. There are these feelings and needs cards.
Yeah, I've done them.
Yeah.
All about them.
I love them. I'm so happy that you know what they are.
Yes.
Yeah, that is, it's been a game changer for us. Even just as I said before about not being okay with my feelings, at least I'm able to just flip through these cards and see which ones I'm not okay with and see which ones, and just say, man, I am feeling this one hard out. And I didn't even know I was feeling this one because our language, you know, the limits of our language are the limits of our world. So as the more that we can learn about our different feelings and what they mean, the more that we're able to, you know, understand what needs are attached to those needs, to those feelings, and how we can communicate it. But that really helped us at the start with all the new things and all the uncertainty and everything that comes with most relationships. I feel like there's so much stigma around polyamory and being hard, but what relationship isn't hard?
Totally.
You know, I think they're all really hard, and they all take effort. They all take communication and honesty and work and commitment. If you want it to work, you just got to commit and you need to be honest. And all of those things are the same no matter what type of relationship, you know.
Totally. And I think it's like a commitment to honesty and communication, and also like I do really feel like there's an extra capacity that the people that I speak to that are in polyamorous relationships have around, this is just a total judgment that I'm making up, but like you've just got, it feels as if you've got more capacity or almost like emotional capacity to relate with multiple individuals. I think, I feel like one monogamous relationship is hard enough. So there's that.
Totally. Totally. I mean, yeah, if you think about it like that, for sure, because within monogamy, we've kind of made the agreement that your partner is going to be there for you and responsible for you. But once you move out of that, the responsibility moves into your own hands.
Mm.
And no matter how many relationships you're in, you're still responsible for your feelings and needs.
Mm.
And that actually translates over into monogamy. But it's just sometimes a bit harder to realize that because we're with the same person and they should read my mind by now. They should be able to read my mind.
Yes.
I shouldn't have to say anything anymore.
I'm like angrily chopping the carrots in the kitchen. Why don't they understand that I'm feeling fucking pissed off? Yeah,
should have sharpened the knife before I got here. I didn't know I was chopping carrots.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Interrupting this delicious conversation with an important announcement. As someone who personally experiences feelings of anxiety and overwhelm on the reg, it feels incredibly comforting to know that there are superhumans out there making super products to help lighten the load. Braveface was designed to support you through the pressures of modern life. It's a trio of herbal supplements that takes a 360 approach to stress. Cool Head Day Spray provides rapid relief from anxious moments. Headrest Night Drops are there to help calm your mind so you can get a good night's sleep. And Live Calm Daily Capsules nourish the adrenals for long-term stress maintenance. The best part about it is it's all natural, free of alcohol, and scientifically backed. If this sounds like a bit of you, you can use the code FINGERFOOD15 at www.braveface.com for a 15% discount. That's FINGERFOOD15 at www.braveface.com.
This leads me on to my next sort of inquiry, which is I know that recently you have become monogamous with your partner,
yeah,
and I'm interested to know around sort of the thinking around that and the feeling behind that. And
well, I mean, there was a lot of strong feelings around that, especially at this when I, because I was the one that kind of brought up, hey, how do you feel about being monogamous for a while? And having those thoughts is a scary thought, because that means, what does that mean? Does that mean that you've given up? Does that mean that you've now, for me, the conversation I'm having with myself is, are you now just going to be her ball and chain? Are you going to be the one that allows her to go to things and doesn't allow her to go to things?
Mm.
And I was just so, it's like, it's a fear, and it's a silly thing to think, but are you going to be like a tyrant now because you're in a monogamous relationship, and are you just going to control her and isolate her and not respect that she has her own friends and relationships outside of us? So, you know, I had to check in with myself, and I still have to check in with myself. So why am I in this relationship? And I think a big part of me wanting monogamy and us both, you know, thinking it's a good idea for now is, we have so much uncertainty within our lives at the moment, so much chaos, that it's just nice to have a little bit of stability for a while. Because over the past 6 months, we've been in lockdown, and we live together, so we're just with each other the whole time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be, you know, it was a little bit confusing or stressful to think about the fact that she might be leaving to go stay with someone else for a while. And, you know, we're in a state of our lives where, you know, no job because it's been taken away from COVID, and having to find new shelter to live is a whole new stress.
Mm.
And I think for now it was just really, really stabilizing, if that's a word, for us to be together. And we're able to, you know, make up our own rules for our relationship, and it doesn't have to be this way forever. I don't think it will be this way forever, but I think right now it's feeling quite healthy to just be able to focus on the other things in the world, rather than, hey, maybe I should go on a date with somebody.
Yeah. Or,
you know, that, you know, this, the idea of abundance of love is great, and we have it, but maybe I need to put that love towards me right now.
Mm.
And maybe that love needs to be going towards other places.
Mm.
I think it'll change, and I think it will forever be evolving. We can define our own relationship, and it'll just continue to evolve and change.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I really love what you're saying around, just like noticing that, oh, in this moment, like, we're in a pandemic, and like, you and I just live alone together, and already there's like this, like, feeling of, you know, like instability in the world with jobs and housing and just where we're at.
Yeah.
Like, fucking global pandemic. And it's like, what would feel really safe for me in this moment is just to not have to think about relating outside of all of that, like those basic sort of human needs.
Right.
And that makes so much sense. And I think it's really beautiful. Yeah.
Thanks. It does make sense, hey?
Does anything make sense?
I don't even know. I don't know anymore.
What is life?
Yeah, it feels like that, hey. I think, you know, if things open up a bit more, and we're able to actually fulfill needs in ways that we were able to in 2018 or whenever.
Yes.
And things were a bit more open and alive, I think things might be different. But right now, if I was to look through the big stack of cards of needs and find out what they were, I think stability and certainty would be my top one, my top needs right now.
Beautiful.
And and I know that is a big one for her as well. And so maybe we can help fulfill each other with those needs for a little bit until the things that aren't in our control are a bit more settled.
I love that.
Yeah, whenever that is.
I absolutely love that. Beautiful. Okay, well, this is leading me into my next question, which is, how do you feel about sex and pleasure at this stage in your life right now? With yourself and with others?
I feel great. Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like because of the agreements that we've made within our relationship, it also allows us to focus a bit more on what sex looks like for us and how we can make it more fun and maybe get more tantric and more connect in other ways and have fun with it and be spontaneous and, yeah, explore in other ways, because we're still, you know, I'm still learning things about my body and that's so much fun. That's so much fun to explore and to go through those nerves and to be vulnerable with somebody it's really scary, but it's fun and it's exciting and I can't wait.
I love
sex.
Yes. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
So when you're referring to exploring and getting a bit more tantric with your partner, what does that mean to you?
It might just mean, let's take some deep breaths. Let's just breathe through this and see what happens. Or maybe it's intentional sex, you know? And sometimes that can be missed quite easily. And you're like, hey, we haven't had intentional sex in a little while. We have sex.
Yes.
But it's, you know, why don't we like plan it a little bit more? Maybe we know it's coming up and we can talk about it all day and sort out some yummy foods and some other things that we can do sensorily, I don't know, along the way, you know.
Beautiful.
Whether it's working through all the senses with sex. So some things that we would do would be like blindfolding ourselves and then tickling each other or putting things in front of our noses that we don't know what it is and just going through all the different senses and having smell this chocolate, eat this frozen berry. What does this honey feel like? Or I don't know. There's a lot of fun things we can do to leading up towards sex. And again, what does sex mean? I guess in that term, I meant penis and vagina, you know, because I would also call that sex. In some sort of way.
Totally. You know? You mean the foreplay of the kind of like sensory experience and totally.
Yeah. And I think we have so much space to explore within that, which I'm very excited about.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And I love that both of those things can exist as well, sort of that sex you were talking about. Yeah, we've had sex, but have we deeply connected intentional sex, I guess?
Yeah.
Well, for a while.
Light a candle, you know?
Really? I'm all about a ritual.
Yeah.
Or ceremony.
Yeah. I mean, there's times where it's just like, take your fucking clothes off. You're so sexy right now.
Let's fuck.
Let's fuck. It's so good. Yes. And it's so sweaty and it's spontaneous. And you're like, we're meant to be quiet, but I can't be quiet right now. Don't worry about being quiet, you know. But then there's other times when you just want to put some sexy music on and, you know, spend an hour going down on them, you know, and kissing every part of their body and massaging them at the same time and making sure that they can feel all the different senses and how many places can you touch her at the same time and feel and like almost cuddle them while you're being able to pleasure them, you know. And those things don't necessarily happen from spontaneous sex, but more from intention and synergy in those moments when you both are very much on the same wavelength and vibe or vibration at that time.
Beautiful. I love all of those descriptions immensely. I could talk about that for hours.
Yeah.
Okay, so with all the wisdom that you have now based on your experience with polyamory and monogamy and just everything that's led you up until this moment, what would you tell your younger virgin self?
so many things. So many things that I'm still learning, and I wish that I knew that. I would say that, you know, communication is more important than your dick size and how you communicate with the person that you're with. And communication is more important than anything physical on your body when it comes to sex. It's not, porn is nothing like what it's like in real life, bro. Like, if I'm thinking about 14 year old self, I'm like, come on, G, you'll be fine. You're going to be okay. You are enough as you are, and you're going to be fine. Just talk to them about how you're feeling, you know? Can I tell you about how I lost my virginity?
Please.
I was with my first girlfriend at the time, and we were camping. Like, we set up a tent down the driveway from my place. We had like a little camping area. And I remember bringing two condoms down, and we were so excited. And it kind of came to the moment when I'm supposed to put the condom on and put my dick in, and I just got soft. I went soft, and I was so nervous, and I was like, what's going on? This is the moment. This is the moment, bro. Get to it. What are you doing? Like, this is game face. And I was so nervous, and I wasn't working, and I freaked out, and what did I say? I said, like, the condom isn't working. I'll just go up and get another condom. So I made some sort of excuse to go up to find another condom in my house. So I pretty much just ran away.
Oh, you never returned?
No, I did return. I did return.
Deeply traumatizing.
But I bought down two condoms. I said that one of them didn't work. I said that I couldn't find the other one, so I could run back up the top. And I ran back up the top, and I started to watch some porn. I went up there to see if I could get a hard on, just to be like, nice. Is this... What's going on? I don't know what to do, because I had watched porn way before I had sex and way before I had anything sexual. Which is weird and gross to think about, but it's true. Mm. And so I had a lot of these expectations that you're meant to have a massive hard dick, you know, and you're supposed to be able to, you're supposed to be able to just keep it up forever. And
so unrealistic.
It's so unrealistic, and I still struggle with with like those expectations in my head of you're supposed to perform in this type of way. And so I struggled to get hard up there because I was nervous. I was just so nervous, and I came back down being like, oh, I couldn't find a condom up there, and she's like, look, found the other condom. Oh. I was just chilling in. I was like, oh. True. Where it was. I had no idea. But she was a very patient and beautiful human being who I was with, and was very understanding. And I think it took us probably another 2 weeks before we tried again. And it was fine the second time. Because I just communicated it. I said, I'm nervous that I'm not going to be able to get hard, even though I'm really horny. I don't understand what's going on. And yeah, it was a huge thing for me. So it's, what would I say to my younger virgin self about get out of your head and into your body? I mean,
amen.
In those moments, that's like you can't be in your head when you're having sex. You're meant to be connecting with the other person, and that can be a really hard thing to do, especially when you're trying to get ready to perform as a man. You're supposed to make them come, and you're supposed to do all this stuff and do it this way. And if you can just, yeah, take a second to take the pressure off and say, we're here to have fun, and just communicate with the other person. Get out of your head. How do you get out of your head? Maybe just think about how nice it feels to be with them. Think about the things that you love touching them, and think about the things that you're excited about, what's about to happen, instead of thinking about the things that could happen and go wrong, which has gotten in my way so many times in situations. And I've just gone into big shame spirals and just, what is wrong with me? I'm going to have to go to the doctor. I've got erectile dysfunction. It's all fucked. It's all fucked.
As someone that has spent the majority of my teens and early 20s heavily in my head, and obviously I'm in a woman's body and you're in a man's body, so I haven't had the thoughts around erectile dysfunction, but I have around not being orgasmic and just being like just in my head the whole time. And yeah. I love what you said around coming out of your head and getting into your body through communicating first and foremost what's on top for you.
Yeah.
Just thinking about that, what a pleasure it is to be with the person that you're with in that moment.
Yeah.
It's almost like getting rid of the goal or the expectation of, okay, sex is like penis into vagina and then you fuck and then you have an orgasm and then that's it, or whatever that looks like for you depending on your sexual preference. But letting go of the goal was a real big one for me around what it has to look like.
Yeah, letting go of the goal. Wow, that's a great way to put it. I ended up making like a safety net for myself around it. So instead of it, which was kind of ended up being a good thing, it was like, don't worry about getting hard, just focus on them. And that always turned me on so much that I couldn't help myself. I was like, well, I'm fucking hard now. Like, I can't do anything about it.
Yes.
I'm so horny. I feel so hot for you right now because I spent so much time on you.
Beautiful.
One, it's a bit of a distraction. It's like, hey, let's focus on you, not focus on me, because I don't know how to figure myself out right now. But it's also, I think, maybe that's also about me having a bit of control in that situation. Hey, let me just control the attention and put it on you, and you can just relax and you can do whatever you want to do, and then I can do whatever needs to happen. Well, you know, we obviously talk about it, but I think throughout that I've felt a lot more comfortable and confident within my own body to move forward. And now, you know, thinking about being hard isn't something that I think about as much anymore, because it's just not a big of a priority.
Beautiful. Yeah.
There are so many times where I feel like I'm just as satisfied after satisfying someone else. And I go, well, I was really hard and now I'm no longer hard. Because I go, did I just come? Yes. I think I just came. And I'm like, well, there you go. All sorted.
Yeah. Fuck yes. And also I think, there's like such a huge societal sort of stigma around like a man's rock hard cock versus a soft cock, and that being like it being like emasculine, or like or you're emasculated when your cock is soft, and it couldn't be further from the truth. It's like the most beautiful thing in the world, and one of the books that really was like a lifesaver for me was The Heart of Tantric Sex by Diana Richardson, and there's like a whole section in that book on like soft penetration, which is like unheard of in the like
How does that work?
It's basically, if you're struggling with any performance anxiety or anything like that, quite literally just lying there with your partner, and for them to, if you're in a heterosexual relationship or if you're in like a queer relationship, I'm not exactly sure how that works because I'm only speaking from my own experience, but just sitting and like holding it at the gate of your pussy or your yoni or whatever you want to call it. And then just sitting there and being with it. And then from my experience of it, it's relaxing and breathing, being in that beautiful situation where you're just like, there's zero judgment and you're just being with each other's bodies. What I've experienced is there's growth that happens through that. And then it's almost like not even moving, but just feeling the most minute sensation that's happening. It's been one of the most profound experiences of my life where I've just like weeped and weeped and weeped, because I'm like, this is just so fucking beautiful, because there's no goal here and there's no one's trying to get anything from anyone. We're just being together with our bodies.
A complete vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that can totally, that would be so empowering for you to be able to go through that. And just, and as a male, to be on the other side of it, like, you know, it's actually not all about like how hard you are at the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
It's all good. It's getting out of your head. You know, it's focusing on, like, let's not focus on putting it, let's just focus on chilling and leave it there. And we'll take a few deep breaths and we'll see where that leaves us. And I think through, you know, that there's no expectation of it's got to go on right now and you got to take my breath away with it. And
totally.
Just even that, again, just talking about how you feel takes so much anxiety away. I can't even express how much it helps just to say, I'm feeling nervous. Just saying that is so enough. You know, because then the other person knows how you're feeling, and that's how consent works.
Totally. You know?
That's how consent works.
Yes. Yes. And 9 times out of 10, everyone's feeling the same way. And you're like, I'm so glad you said that because same.
Yeah. That's funny. There's a, do you know J. Cole? J. Cole's got he's a rapper.
Okay.
And he's got a song called Wet Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is about him and this girl he's got a crush on in class, and they're passing notes, and she's like, have you had sex before? And he's like, yeah, I've had sex before. He's a virgin, but he's like, yeah, I've had sex before. I know what I'm up to. The song's about him saying that he's a great at sex, but he's got no idea, and he's freaking out and he's really nervous. And at the very last, and the way that it sounds is like the lady or the girl's like, oh yeah, like you're a pro, well come show me, like my mum's gone for the weekend, like come over to my place. And and then he's having wet dreams about it, he's sweating, he's nervous, he's got a hand pockets full of condoms, and he's watched porn to see like how do you stroke, like what's the right way to do it all. And then he goes over there, and just before they have sex, she's like, wait, I can tell you know what you're doing, but I'm nervous and I've never done this before. And then it goes back into the chorus, and it's like, oh, actually, they were both feeling the same thing, but they're just putting up this front and being like, hey, I'm actually a pro at this, and I know what I'm talking about, and I'm good at it. But really, we're all just new to this.
And
we're all trying to figure it out.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that message. Yeah. I love that. That's fucking epic. That's so good.
Yeah. I love that song. It's such a great song.
Yes. Oh. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you one more question, two more questions.
Sure.
So if you could give one piece of advice to our audience tuning in around entering a polyamorous relationship, what would it be?
One piece of advice, it would be that you are responsible for your own feelings and needs, and that love is in abundance. It sounds like two, but yeah, you are responsible for your own feelings and needs.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And finally.
The big one.
The moment we've all been waiting for, Viku. What is your favourite finger food?
Now, what does finger food mean?
I mean, just any food that you want to eat with your hands, fingers. Yeah. Could be anything. However you want to take that question, you roll with it.
I'm sticking with my answer as pawpaw.
Divine.
I love pawpaw. Mm. It's so sweet. Where I'm from in the Solomons, it's a lot more red than orange.
Beautiful.
So juicy and sweet and so many. Yeah, it's a beautiful fruit. And the tree is amazing.
Beautiful fruit. It's very pussy-esque.
Yes, very pussy-esque. I have a lot of my friends like holding like.
Yeah,
one right there, and their friends like behind them, like playing with the fruit. And
I'm
like, well, that's beautiful. Well, that's hot.
You get that papaya girl.
Yeah, exactly. Get those seeds out of them.
Yeah. I love it. That is a freaking great finger food. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you so much for joining me today and sharing so vulnerably. Mm. And yeah, I'm just really grateful for you and all that you've shared. And
thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. I felt so nervous at the start, and I just want to keep talking now.
Yeah, well, let's, you know, we'll turn it off and then we'll keep talking.
Sure.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for dining with Finger Food, empowered by Bumble. If you liked this conversation, you can tip your maitre d' by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing this podcast with your friends. If you want to find more of my podcasts, go to stacyogorman.com. Stay safe, stay sexy. See you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.